April 13th, 2019, 11:55 in the morning. About 30 minutes ago, I came from the tiny house and found Persis at my parents' house and told her, really in less than 3 minutes, I apologized to her and said, I have had some revelation over the last few days that I have been unwilling to let this relationship, this marriage, your love for me, die. And I said, I'm finally willing. I realize it's like me trying to keep Lazarus alive, and I tried to keep you from falling away from Jesus Christ. I couldn't do it. I tried to keep you from falling out of love with me. I couldn't do it. I tried to keep you in the marriage and keep the marriage together, and I couldn't do it. And I said, I'm letting it go, and this should be good for you, for your freedom. I'm not going to fight anymore for this, and you know, we'll be friends, and I'll be obviously very, as best I can, cordial and so forth and so on. So I apologized to her for trying to keep her in this marriage when she doesn't want to be in the marriage. You know, Jesus does not run after us. In spite of what the songs say, that he'll travel to no place. Yeah, he will. He gives you a shot, but he doesn't just keep on when you want to run prodigal. The story is the father lets him run. He doesn't run after him and chase and say, hey, let me go find my son. No, he doesn't. If a sheep gets lost out of ignorance, he'll go after that sheep. But when somebody wants to just blatantly run, knowingly run, he'll let him. And I have not allowed my wife, I've tried so hard to love her in spite of how she has continued to remove everything in the marriage. She's basically a walking dead person to me. She does nothing for me. And I told her, I said, I had this insight. I said, it's the perfect timing of God. I've been working on parts 13 and 14 of the story. Video 13 is already up. And I said, as I've been looking at this footage of you and me in India, I said, it really reminds me of how you're not there anymore. That I married somebody that is no longer here. You're such a totally different person. And it gave me some confidence, you know, to realize that this is over. That my wife is dead, and unless God brings her back, which I'm no longer going to even assume on that, I'm willing to let her go. I'm basically done with the fight. And I've tried and tried and tried, and I think to myself, you know what? If Father wants to take something from me, I need to let him take it. If Father wanted me to be married 5 times and take every single one of my wives away from me through no fault of my own, through unbelief, through love of money, through now this, the, you know, whatever you want to call this, but so be it. Not that I'll ever get married 5 times. Thank you, Jesus. This will be the last time, God willing, that I'll ever do this ever again. I'm so devastated from this, and I've been so heartbroken. I'm past that now, but I, you know, my wife is like living with a dead person. This Buddhism, Hinduism crap has turned her into a dead person. I told her all of this in a very calm voice. I apologized to her for trying to force her to stay in love with me and to force her to stay in this marriage. And then I just said, okay, I'm going to go take a shower. And then, of course, a little while later, we got in the car, and she hasn't said a word. And she won't say a word. That's the Buddhist in her, just killing off all the desire. And so I'm dead to her. I'm just basically somebody that pays for her food and shuttles her back and forth from my parents' house to the tiny house when company's coming, so that she doesn't have to actually meet and be around another human being. And I take her to get her groceries, or my mom will. And now she'll lean more heavily on my mom than me because of her pride. But I finally was able to let her go. And you know, there's something good about it. And I the temptation is to want to say to her, to get a response out of her, to say to her, you know, something, but I'm not. I'm just going to let it go and let her go and let God have his way with this dead person. I've never seen anything like this. I don't know what to do about it. And really, I can't do anything about it. you got to let Lazarus die in more ways than one. I've had to let my wife's love die. I've had to let my marriage die. I've had to let my wife's spirituality die. I mean, it's been really, really ugly to have this happen. But nevertheless, it has happened. But I think the saddest part about it is to see how she is so cold. She's just become so cold. This Buddhism, Hinduism thing just killed her. She has no compassion, no feeling anymore, and she just suppresses it all. No wonder. And, you know, I laid down this morning in the tiny house for a while, and I was thinking about how I had to keep reminding myself that she walked away from God first. That Jesus feels the same way I do, probably only worse, because, you know, my cost is a wife in the temporal world and a woman I love dearly, and his cost is a soul in eternity if she doesn't come back from this. And, you know, I see God say he'll destroy the wisdom of the wise, but I'm not so entirely certain anymore. That even after I prayed that very, very powerful prayer against the devil and on behalf of my wife that one night I made this recording about it and how much I've prayed for her, I'm not entirely convinced that she can come back from this. And, you know, I have no reason to believe from God, really, other than secured and arranged in every part, but that doesn't necessarily mean with Persis in my life. So I'm just going to let it all go and let God. I'm going to quit begging God to... I think that's what this is really about. This is what it's really about, is about me quitting begging God to save something, to let God have what he wants to take. You know, once you warn a person, you've done your job. You can't just keep warning them over and over and over. I'm sorry, you're going to find that nowhere in the Bible. You want to be perfect? Go and sell all that you have. The guy walks away sad. Do you see Jesus Christ running after that guy? I mean, there's something almost kind of cold in what I'm saying, but it's so true. And Jesus let go. John 6:66, many of his disciples turned away and no longer followed after them. Do you see Jesus going after them? Hey, but guys, you don't know, understand. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're thinking. No, you don't see that. He had to let them go. I'm having this insight now that as devastating as it is to see such a kind, adorable human being like this fall away from the faith, there is absolutely nothing I can do about it. I have prayed and prayed and prayed. And I can't do anything about it. And so, you know, you have to ask yourself, is it the Lord's will to even change that? Or is it the Lord's will to remove this? You know, when somebody dies, not everybody can be a Lazarus. Lazarus is an important principle, but not everybody who's on the verge of death ends up being a person who dies and then is raised again. Hardly nobody does. That's the truth. So, anyhow, I think I've said enough for today. It is 9:43 at night on April 16th, 2019. I just finished 20 minutes ago posting part 15, I believe it is, of Walking with God into the Impossible. And it's the story of Persis and I being so in love and getting to go to her home, her old home in Guntagal. And I went and brushed my teeth. And I said, okay, so I'm not going to just keep doing this, we're being quiet and ignoring each other thing. And I said, I need to go give her the respect of letting her know where I'm at. And I finally just laid it all out there so that she can be crystal clear. I said, I want to share with you what's going on. I said, I want you to know that I have grieved the loss of you in my heart. I've accepted that you want out of this relationship, so forth and so on. And that you feel called to run on into this Buddhism, Hinduism thing that you've bought into. And I said, and I basically spent less than 3 or 4 minutes telling her that she has ripped my heart out. And I said, I want you to know I forgive you, but you've ripped my heart out. I've never loved another human being like I've loved you. I sacrificed everything I had for you, went after you, hurt myself for you, denied myself for you. And then when you got back to the United States of America, I said, with all these people as my witnesses, I have one by one allowed you to take this from me and that from me and this from me. And I've continued to love you, continued to sacrifice myself for you, and, you know, basically give in to every little thing that she wanted. And I said, I am so disappointed in you. And I said, you know, losing my ex-wife was a piece of cake compared to losing you. I said, she was a pig of a human being, evil as they come. I said, but you were so precious and I loved you so much. And you used to love Jesus Christ. And I watched you cry on that porch knowing that you were saved from your sins of Jesus Christ. And you have walked away from the one who saved you. And now you believe this, quote, false spirit is calling you to go on out somewhere. And I said, well, wherever you end up, wherever you told my mom you were going, Africa or India or wherever you think you're going, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you wake up in the middle of the night and hit your head like I had always hoped my ex-wife would be, and she never did. And I pray you wake up and hit your head and think to yourself, what in the world have I done? I threw away one of the best gifts God ever gave me. And I said it to her just like this. And I said, I'm not mad at you. I'm over it, but I need to get this off my chest. I'm moving on. And I said, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not trying to be ignoring you. I just don't have anything else to say to you. We have nothing else to talk about in my mind. I said, I'm simply waiting for you to tell me how much longer you're going to be here, why you're here, where you're going, and how you want me to help you get there. When you decide, you let me know. I said, do you understand everything I've said? And she just barely nodded her head yet. And I told her she broke my heart. She's ripped my heart out. And there was just no response from her whatsoever. But you know what? I was expecting that. And I did not say this to manipulate her, to try to change it. But I have a right. Since she has made these decisions, I have a right to tell her how I feel about this. Even if I'm waiting for God to act in my behalf, I have a right to tell her to feel. And I have a right to know if my spouse is in or out on this relationship. My mom and stepfather told me tonight, my mom told me, she said she was amazed by the amount of grace that God's giving me in this because she knows this is the most painful thing you can go through. And I said, yes, mom. I said, I've cried so much, 2.5 years I've been going through this. I said, but God is giving me grace. And so I praise God that they testify, they can see God's grace. And they're hurting too. They love Persis and it's terrible for them to see her be so deceived like this. And the devil has just worked on her and worked on her and worked on her, got her all alone. And I thought about it this morning. I remember how immediately one of the first things that happened that led us down this road is the devil took away her desire to pray with her husband and to read the word with me. I knew when we were living in India, when that happened, I said, you know something? There is something wrong here. And it was too late. There was nothing I could do. God allowed all of it. That's the first way he separated us is by getting us to stop praying together and stop reading the word of God together. And then he had her and he just took her on this trail into where now she's completely gone. She's completely numb and she won't even admit. She won't say the name Jesus Christ. She won't even admit. My mom even asked her, did you ever love Michael? And she wouldn't even say that she did. She said, well, you know, we were on the same path and God brought us together. She won't even admit. She has completely cut off all of her feelings. I wish I can one day use all of this to expose the evil of Buddhism. What evil it is for you to do this to yourself, which then hurts other people when you cut off your desire like this. Wow, what evil. It's just a horrible, horrible perversion of what God intended. It's just terrible. So anyhow, I wanted to capture this, that tonight is the night that we're at ground zero. My marriage is over. The only way it'll come back is if God resurrects it. And I said, I have nothing else to say to you until you tell me, unless to discuss where you're going and how we're going to help you get there. That's it. As far as I know, right now you're just living here. And I said, I'll financially take care of you, provide for you. But I am terribly disappointed in you. You've made a gigantic mistake. You have sinned against Jesus Christ and you have sinned against your husband. So I feel good about having gotten it off, and I want to thank God Almighty for keeping me in peace. He has kept me in such glorious peace. This is difficult, ugly stuff to have to deal with, but I have had the courage to speak up and call sin and lies and deception what it is, even to my wife's face. I've told her now multiple times, this is deception, and she has been deceived, and I said, you're one of the most amazing and most deceived people I've ever met in my whole life.